Morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. Hope everybody had a fantastic Christmas and New Year. And let's see, St. Stephen's Day and St. John the Apostle Day and Holy Innocence Day and St. Thomas of Canterbury Day. And I think some of you are even celebrating Ukrainian Christmas on top of it. So it's okay if you all look pretty exhausted from all that celebrating. Anyway, it's been a great season. Fantastic. So I hope you all really enjoyed it. Today, of course, is the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, which is really, probably the most important day in the season of Epiphany. In the East, it's called the Theophany, the revelation of God. So I'm just going to talk to you for a minute about the reading that we heard from the gospel, from the book of Isaiah. I don't think I've mentioned this incident to you before. Excuse me if I have, but I don't think I have. Many years ago, and this happens from time to time, there was a couple that came to church upon occasion. And there was something about me, maybe entirely justifiable, that just they did not like very much. And they were not big fans and just made it very clear that they were not big fans. I was watching Apocalypse Now the other day again. So I want to use the word which with extreme prejudice. That's a just kind of a strong visceral dislike, which is okay. You know, maybe deserved, maybe not deserved. That's not really the issue. But anyway, they didn't come very often. And one Sunday, at that point, we were in a gym. And fortunately, it was a Roman Catholic, of a Roman Catholic school. So there was an area which you open up the doors, and there was an altar, which is fantastic, that you could pull out. And then behind that was a very simple cross. It was just vertical and a horizontal line, but very, very large. And so I was distributing Holy Communion to people, and we're in a long line. And I looked down the line, and I saw this couple who weren't, you know, who were not going to be that all that friendly to me. I looked down at them, and I confessed that I had this thought, which is, oh no, here we go again. Which is not the kind of thought that a priest is very proud of when they're administering communion to people. And it was even a little bit more than that. But anyway, it was not a very friendly or edifying thought. And then I had something happen to me. This probably only happened to me really clearly a few times in my life. And that is the voice of God rang out like a bell to me. Like, it was unambiguous. You sometimes wondering, is God talking to me or not? This was not. This was just straight out of the blue, and it was as clear as anything. And what he said to me was this: I really love these people. And which I've been thinking about for a long time, thinking what that means. And I think I now have an understanding, a better understanding even then of what he was trying to say to me at that particular moment. The reason I think of this is that this is something that we see something similar here in the book of Isaiah. That is, the people have wandered, you know, they've been worshiping idols, they've gone to the land of idols. And God has finally said to them, well, you know, if you like idols so much, why don't you just go live with the Babylonians? They can conquer you. And you can see how much you love living under the reign of idols. And it has not turned out very well. It has not turned out as well as they might have expected. It's a kind of a lot like Jesus' story of the prodigal son, which this, I think Jesus may even have based the story of the prodigal son on this reading from Isaiah. Sort of the prodigal son, of course, you know, I'm going to go out my own and things are going to be better. I'm going to have a good time. And then he goes, yeah, you know, the faraway country is not as much fun as I thought the faraway country would be. And then he returns, as you know, he returns to the father. So here we see, again, it's almost like the Lord has kind of handed us over to our consequences sometimes. There's a famous saying by St. Augustine, and that a disordered mind is its own punishment. And perhaps sometimes the Lord does in extreme circumstances hand us over to the consequences of our own behavior. So we see something like this in the first part of Isaiah, where God is going, well, okay, you really love idols, go live in the land of idols and see how much you enjoy it. And, you know, let's see how you enjoy living with a disordered mind, which is his own punishment. And of course it doesn't go well, but in second and third Isaiah, we see, and the people are in exile. In second and third Isaiah, we see something else happening, which is now fully revealed. And it is this, and it's the language. If you read through, I think it's the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. If you read this through this clearly, it's very, almost startling language. That is, God expresses his grief at the people suffering. You know, we don't normally think of God as expressing the kind of grief in that way, and the people's lostness, and his brokenheartedness for his people as he desires them for himself. And the language he uses is, the Lord is in a similar kind of pain as a woman in labor, by which it means that God's pain at the loss of his people is overwhelming, and that also he has a great desire for his people, for his children. So we know that God is unchangeable, he's not touched by human passion, and that he's speaking to us in our own language, but this is the language he has chosen to speak to us about his feelings towards Israel and his feelings towards us, which is his great longing for us, his brokenheartedness for us when we wander away from him, and the great efforts he's prepared to bring us back to himself. And the grief and longing he has for us. So I hate to use the word love. You know, I know the Bible's full of the word love. I hate to use the word love because we often, I'm guilty of this, I'm not blaming others. We often use it in a way that indicates some kind of weakness, as if love means just pure indulgence. And clearly that is not what it means in the Bible. When God says he loves somebody, it doesn't mean, well, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, and you know, if you go your way, I go mine, and if someday we should meet, that would be beautiful. That's not the kind of love God is talking about when he's talking about love. He's talking about a love which is fierce, which seeks us out, and which seeks to transform us so that we can be his partners in things. Seeks us to transform us, in a sense, to make us worthy to be his partners. It is a deep longing love. So there are three sections to this passage. If you go back and look at it, verses 1 to 7 in this passage, and at the center of the second section, center of the middle section, this is very important. What you put at the very center of the middle section, if you want to look at it, this is what you will see. These are the words you'll see at the center of the middle section. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. So that's a pretty direct message from God when it's structured that way, right at the middle of the center section. So here's what I learned from these folks that, you know, I was not happy to see in that particular morning. And when the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and it's this, the image of the image of the cross behind the altar, the people receiving the Eucharist, which was in my hand, the people receiving communion, and these particular folks came together in one, and the word of the Lord speaking to me came together in one very clear statement that I knew in theory, because I'd been studying a lot about it, you know, back to the Middle Ages and before that, I understood it in theory, but it suddenly became an immediate and direct reality. And that is, Jesus died for these guys. That's how much he loved them. And Jesus died for me. That's how much he loved me. And it is not my place to determine who is worthy and not worthy of God's love. The Israelites were called back to the land, not because somehow they had become worthy during the exile. God had made them worthy. He had chosen them. He continued to love them, even when his love was tough love. He continued to love them, and he had this deep, abiding longing for them. So let's think about this today, a couple of ways we can maybe apply this to ourselves. First of all, can we ask ourselves, am I sometimes hesitant to approach God because of my own sense of unworthiness or sin? Do I want to go? Sometimes I go, you know, I'd love to pray, but, you know, I know the answer that I'm going to get, and it's going to be like the hammer of Thor. That's the answer I'm going to get. But if we think that, let's remember that's not the Bible. What the Bible has to say is this: I long for you. Approach me and receive the fact that I find you delightful. Are there people that we would like to condemn to the further extents, the extent of the inferno? Maybe there's certain politicians we don't like. I don't know. That happens sometimes. Or maybe there's people who used to be our friends we feel maybe have let us down and even betrayed us, or, you know, people we used to work with or whatever, you name it. Are there people that we would really like to make sure that they get the bad karma they deserve? Well, let's pray for them, because the Bible tells us that God loves them. He wants to delight in them, and his desire is to be with them, not to be without them. While I was writing this, I just looked straight ahead of me here, and I have a picture of my ancestors going back to the late 18th century, 19th century rather, whole line of them. Man, there was a lot of big beards in those days. And anyway, but I'm looking at them and I'm going, yeah, and my ancestors as well. Are there deceased people, you know, with whom things were left unresolved? What we can say is God longed for them throughout their lives. He loved them. He wanted to be with them. He did not want to be without them. And so we have the freedom to pray for them. So, yeah, let's just think about what Isaiah has to say to us, which becomes comes to full form in Jesus, and that is God's aggressive longing for us, his aggressive love for us, his desire to go into the far country to find us, not because we're worthy by somebody's standards, our own or someone else's, because that's just the way he is. That's how he feels about us. And so let's end by praying together. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for not accepting your love or making it conditional. help us not to begrudge love to others, but make us like you, Lord Jesus. Transform us into your loving, self-offering, and giving presence. We ask that in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.